everybody. It is Tuesday night. Three in a row. That's right. Three nights in a row of Tiddly Jim Radio Rocks. It's a trifecta. It's a threesome. It's a triplet. It's whatever you want to call it. Doesn't matter. We're here. We're rocking. You're there. You're rocking. So let's do this. All right. My name is Bay Ragney, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio Rocks. That's right. And tonight, for the win, for the threesome, for the trifecta, we have Jason Harless, drummer Jason Harless. He's Ted Nugent's drummer. He's a studio musician, studio drummer for hire. He's a drummer for hire in just about everything. He's a young dude, early 20s. So we talk about how this young Jason Harless got started drumming at professionally at like 5 years old, which is just mind-blowing. So we hear Jason's story and something really cool about Jason as well. A couple cool things. Like, he's not your, he's out there living the rock star life, but he's a professional musician, whereas he's, like, not out doing the rock star things. He doesn't party. He leads a clean life, no drinking or drugs or nothing. And he really tries to teach that to the younger kids coming up today, which is really cool. Cool message to put out there. As well as, he goes to school. He goes to school for music business and management, and he runs his own record company. Like, this dude's doing a lot in music, and I mean, he's young. He's 23 years old. Yeah, you know, I'm double his age, so he's out there kicking it, man. And it was really cool talking to him. So, you know, I might as well like play this interview so you can hear it. So let's do it. Here he is, drummer extraordinaire. And human being extraordinaire, actually, Jason Harless.
Is this the one and only Mr. Jason Harless?
Yes, it is.
Hey, man, how the hell you doing?
Doing fantastic. How's it going?
Good, man. Yeah, dude, you know what? Like, as I read about you and learn about you, like, the more I read, the more I'm blown away by you.
Oh, thank you so much.
So like, how the hell do you start drumming professionally at 5 years old?
Well, my dad was a professional drummer in the Detroit music scene, around the time I was born. And, so he was always, playing, and the drums are always in the house. And, about 6 months old, I would just kind of crawl down in the basement and just start banging away. And then really by the time I was three, my dad started, bringing some of his, musician buddies over to kind of jam with me, because I started getting a little, more serious and actually playing the kit. And, by the time I was five, I was playing, professional gigs with an all adult band around Detroit, doing covers. And, my dad is a salesman by trade. So he's one of those guys that's always networking, always talking. And, when he was playing, his band used to tour a lot with Ace Frehley back in the early 90s. And so he ended up striking up a great relationship between Richie Scarlett, Ace's guitar player for many years, and Ace. And
the Emperor.
So much so that, when I was born, my dad made Richie my godfather.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I started playing cover gigs and such. I used to do like mountain songs. I was a big mountain fan. We used to do Nantucket Sleigh Ride and, some Alice Cooper tunes and stuff like that. But when Ace rejoined Kiss in the mid 90s, Richie went to go play bass for Mountain. So I was always a big fan of Mountain. I always loved Corky Lang and just idolized him. And hence why I was playing mountain songs. And, my dad took video of me, playing Nantucket Sleigh Ride, sent it to Richie, Richie ended up showing it to Corky, and Corky ended up calling my dad and was like, look, I want to work with this kid. And, from the time I was about 7 to about 10, Corky, who's living in Toronto at the time, would drive back and forth from, Toronto to Detroit, and we would sit in Woodshed in the studio, and, that's kind of the introduction into my career.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
Thank you.
So I mean, there's really been nothing else, like, pretty much on your radar other than music.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my entire life I've always engulfed myself with music, you know, especially, you know, nowadays with, you know, I'm touring and session musician, but, you know, I'm also running, you know, record labels and publishing companies, and I go to school full time for it. So it's like every single thing I do is, you know, music related in some form.
Yeah, like that really, really, I mean, blew me away was that part where I was reading how you go to school and all, and you're looking, you know, to learn the business side of things, and you also involved in running your own label. Like, it's not just you looking to be, you know, the drummer or a musician. I mean, you're looking to really learn the ins and outs and all aspects of the musical business.
Absolutely. I mean, and I've always looked at it, you know, and in this day and age, you have to be business-minded, you know, in order to be successful. And, you know, really my occupation as a drummer is I'm not a drummer. You know, I'm a studio and touring musician. So I play with, you know, whoever the hell needs me and, you know, whoever hires me for, you know, whether it's a rock artist or a jazz artist or a funk artist or R&B or ska artist, whatever, you know, so making sure that I don't limitate myself to any other, you know, situations where I get a call to do a gig and they're like, yeah, I can't play that. So
right.
Making sure that I can always, you know, step up and do the gig that's required. But, you know, growing up, you know, the lucky thing I had was my parents were very supportive and they kind of knew what avenue to take in terms of my development. My parents never once told me, like, go down and practice. You know, they wanted me to find love for the instrument myself. And it's funny, the few times that I got in trouble, my parents would even ground me from playing drums, which was way more devastating than, you know, grounding from playing video games or whatever, you know.
Right.
And but what that did was, you know, it definitely helped me, you know, learn the love and find the love for the instrument and you know, my craft. And but with that being said, you know, the one thing that my dad always pushed on me was making sure, you know, I was business-minded because, he's a business guy. Now, me, I'm naturally a very quiet person. You know, I can, you know, sit and not talk for hours. My dad, on the other hand, is the complete opposite. He can talk to a tree for 4 hours and never run out of something to talk about. But, you know, what it did was it allowed me to, you know, he pushed me to in pressure situations to where, you know, I had to talk in front of people and things like that so that when time comes, you know, that I got to, you know, work my career on my own, that I'm able to do, you know, that sort of thing.
Wow. Now, do you play any other instruments besides drums or are you just always stuck with drums?
I play almost all the percussion instruments. You know, so when I was in high school and middle school, I was in every single music ensemble that they, you know, offered, from symphony band, jazz band, concert band, marching band, drumline, percussion ensemble, drum for the show choir. You know, so that was the time that I was kind of like, all right, you know, I'm just going to only focus on this and try to master as best as I can all these different things. And,
right.
You know, I can BS, you know, guitar and bass when I'm teaching students, you know, drum students. But other than that, I only concentrate on playing drums and percussion.
Wow. Now, how about you also drummed with Jolene Turner?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny with Joe because I'm kind of like his designated Midwest United States drummer. With him, he's got musicians all across the world that when he's playing gigs in certain regions, he, you know, he hires those musicians so he doesn't have to fly people all across the world with him. In his situation, it works out perfect. So anytime, you know, he does like Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Ohio, all those areas, I end up getting called to do the gig, and it's fun because, you know, with Joe, you're spanning, you know, stuff from Rainbow and Deep Purple and Yngwie Malmsteen and Joe solo stuff, so you're covering a lot of different drummers, you know, like Cozy Powell and Bobby Rodinelli and Ian Pace, so it's definitely a you know, a diverse playing style when I do that gig.
That's cool. Now, how about I mean, your gig right now is playing with Ted Nugent, which has to be kind of like kind of wild for you in two different aspects. Where one, you're being from the Detroit area, and he is the Motor City Madman, so I mean, he is like a god there. And two, I mean, Ted's like what, 70 years old, and you're in your early mid 20s. So is it like kind of a weird, you know what I mean, like a weird thing to be playing with a guy almost three times your age?
I mean, not really, you know, because again, I've grown up playing with all adults, and you know, I was only in one situation in my entire career that I played with, you know, kids my age, and it was, you know, like when I was 11 years old or something. But I've always played with adults, and you know, with Ted, it's you know, like last week, him and I went out to lunch, you know, to some barbecue place and just bullshitted, you know, because him and I are, you know, we're musicians, we do this, and you know, we're on a peer level. And so working with, you know, Ted and being from Detroit is great, because you know, he's like a folk legend here. And
sure.
And it's fun, and it's funny, because when I was little, I was probably 10 years old, I studied with Tommy Clefetos, who drums for Ozzy and Black Sabbath currently. But when I was taking lessons from him, he was drumming for Ted Nugent.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny how, you know, things end up working out to where, you know, I end up years later taking the same gig that, you know, one of my former teachers had.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Now, how about too, like... you know, you said, like, hey, you went to lunch with Ted last week. I mean, when you're playing with a person like Ted and, you know, Jalen Turner and, you know, Quickie Lang and Richie Scarlett involved and all, like, when you get together with these guys, is it almost kind of like going to rock school, you know what I mean, where they just sit and talk to you about stuff they've learned through their career and passing their wisdom on to you?
Absolutely. I mean, I always love, you know, hearing you know, old war stories. And, you know, Corky Lang, I always call him the Forrest Gump of rock, because that dude was always in the right place at the right time and knew everybody and played with everybody. So the stories that he tells are just legendary. And same thing with Ted, you know, being from Detroit, you know, I always hear these stories about, you know, these iconic venues in the late 60s, like, you know, the Grandy Ballroom and the Easttown Theater and Cinderella Ballroom and, you know, all these just iconic, unbelievable, you know, lineup bills that happen, you know, where the, you know, the Who and Ted Nugent's Amboy Dukes were playing a high school in 1967,
right.
You know, just crazy stuff. And, you know, hearing those stories from Ted is, you know, what I always love, you know, love having conversations with him about, because You always hear rumors, you always hear, you know, third, fourth, fifth hand stories, but to hear it from the actual person that was there is just, you know, incredible.
That's awesome. What's your favorite song to play with Nugent?
Honestly, all of them. You know, every single gig is just a highlight, but you know, I've never gotten stage fright in my entire life. You know, even my first gig with Ted, which, funny enough, was the first time I ever sang on stage, which was in front of 15,000 people at a festival in New Hampshire. And I just, you know, it's just something that was so natural to me, performing and, you know, being on stage in front of people, that I've never gotten nervous. But, you know, there are times where I kind of sit back and, you know, I'm playing Stranglehold and it's like, holy crap, I'm playing Stranglehold with the guy.
Right.
You know.
Oh, that's so freaking awesome. So now, like, with the whole school and you know, business thing, like, how much, I mean, that's got to, like, take up a lot of your time. I mean, so you're probably, like, when you're not in the studio or on the road doing stuff, you're probably, like, attached to a laptop or something.
I'm right now in between meetings as we're speaking. I go nonstop when I'm home. You know, when I'm on the road, that's like my vacation time because, you know, I got drum tech that sets up all my stuff. We don't sound check with Ted, so it's one of those things where I got time to actually relax. But when I'm off the road and, you know, I'm working in the studio and doing my homework and running my business, it's like I go nonstop.
Wow. Like, what? And what made you like? I mean, want us to like do a label? I mean, with the way you know the music business is right now, with music sales and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of a big mountain to tackle in this world right now.
Well, you know, I didn't found the label, but I had worked with the label for many years as a musician for various artists of theirs, and you know, they've gone under a couple different names over the years, and when I started my degree at Berklee College of Music for music business, you know, they were kind of like, well, the owner came to me and he's like, well, you know, the label's kind of defunct. No one's been working it for the last 2 years, you know. So, you know, do you want to just kind of, you know, take it over and just kind of maintenance it? Don't, you know, we're not really thinking about spending too much money, but, you know, maintenance the label, make sure that everything's working. And because it was all catalog releases that the label had. There was no development, you know, artists or any actively working artists on the label.
Okay.
But they, you know, but they did say, like, look, if you come to us with a good idea, we'll definitely, you know, talk about it. And, you know, when I came on as a partner, it was Prudential Records only. And since then, I've been partner for the company a year and a half, 2 years. And we've since grown that to Prudential Music Group. We founded a sub-label called Rouge Records, which focuses on vinyl reissues, and we've also started Prudential Publishing, which houses the publishing catalog of both Prudential Records and Prudential Rouge Records. So it's what became, you know, well, just kind of maintenance this label has turned into, you know, large projects and developing artists, and you know, we're distributed through Sony, so having major label distribution is a major key for us. And
sure,
you know, with our vinyl reissue company, that was like really the big thing that spurred, you know, the label getting rejuvenated, because you know, there's such a high demand nowadays for vinyl. And you know, I've been a vinyl collector, you know, for many years, and you know, what I always enjoyed about it is, you know, you get this kinesthetic quality to listening to music that you normally don't get with, you know, on your laptop or iPhone or, you know, whatever digital listening device you have. And even CDs, you didn't really get that as much. But with vinyl, you're getting this kinesthetic touching. You're feeling this giant thing. You're feeling artwork. You're physically placing a giant disc. You're physically putting a needle onto the record. You know, the artwork you can hang on a wall, you can display, you know, so there's so many different physical aspects to listening to vinyl on top of it just sounds unbelievable, you know, that consumers want it again. And you know, I think on top of, you know, the past generation that had vinyl when they were younger, wanting to relive, you know, and rebuild their catalog of vinyl collection, but also the millennials, you know, my generation, that, you know, they noticed that, you know, they've grown up, you know, with an iPod in their hand, and that was how they got their music, you know, so now they want to try this new thing that, you know, physically having something. So
right.
You're definitely seeing it in this industry, and I feel like it's one of the few viable areas in this business that's actually growing in terms of, you know, profits with physical music. I mean, like the first and second quarter this year, vinyl rose 19%, which is just unbelievable.
Oh, no.
You know, and on top of that, you know, being headquarters in Detroit, Jack White, about a year and a half ago, opened up a beautiful pressing facility right in the heart of downtown Detroit. So we were one of the first third-party companies to get in there and partner with them. So they manufacture all of our stuff, which is great because, you know, it's 15 minutes from my house. So if I need to go check on something, I can just pop right down there. And, you know, on top of now we're able to brand, you know, the Jack White Third Man Records pressing name along with our brand, you know, really, really helps.
That's awesome. You know, the whole vinyl thing, it really is just so shocking to me. I mean, I grew up in the 70s. I was a kid of the 70s. And, you know, so that's what I grew up with was, you know, especially those Kiss albums and just the artwork on them. And that, it just like, meant so much to me in the 70s and 80s. And when it went away, it was just like, wow. And now that it's back, it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that it's back and people are just so into it again.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and on top of, you know, you're now getting superior sound quality because, you know, the technological advances in the industry in terms of, you know, recording and mastering has just elevated. So now you're getting vinyl, if it's done right, you know, that just sounds 10 times better than the original. You know, and the originals already sound great as it was. So, you know, if you have a great turntable and a great sound system, I personally think vinyl is the most superior, you know, medium for listening to music.
Yeah, there's just something about that hum, that vinyl hum.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, do you see yourself, like, say in like 5-10 years, do you see yourself being more on the business side of it? Or do you still see yourself behind the drum kit?
Honestly, I take it one day at a time because in this business, you never know who's going to call and, you know, the next day could you know, I get a call from, you know, major artist that is, you know, going to be putting me on the road for 3 years. I just never know. So being able to stay active in the moment and always working and, you know, building up my repertoire in every single aspect of my career, whether it's, you know, as a touring and studio musician or, you know, as a business executive, you know, and by no means do any you know, am I looking at, you know, my music business career as a fallback to, you know, when my phone stops ringing as a musician. But what it does is when I'm not working as a musician, I'm able to still keep working in the industry and, you know, stay active. So it's basically, it's a real, real win-win situation for both aspects of my career.
Now, something, too, that really stood out with me when I was reading about you was that you are, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're clean and sober. Like, you're not out doing the whole rock and roll party thing. Like, and you, like, really kind of preach that lifestyle, especially to, like, the younger kids.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've grown up in this industry and seen a lot of great musicians, you know, that I've looked up to, you know, either ruin their careers with drugs and alcohol or, you know, flat out kill themselves. So, you know, seeing that very early on in my life, I was, you know, was very impacted quickly. And, you know, so when I became older and started doing drum clinics and stuff like that, and I noticed that, you know, younger kids kind of looked up to me, you know, it was definitely something that I felt like it was my obligation to just kind of get this, you know, message out there. You know, the biggest thing that I always find is, you know, the film and TV have always Hollywoodized, you know, what the music industry is. And one of the big things that it's done is made the music industry, you know, look like you have to be a partier and you got to be a crazy, you know, person to live the quote-unquote rock and roll lifestyle. And you know, it's not true at all. You know, the only way you're going to survive in this industry is being professional as possible. You know, it's sad because I know a lot of great musicians out there that, you know, they still try to live this mentality and their professionalism just goes down the tubes. And guess what?
Yeah.
They're out of a gig in 6 months.
Yeah, it's funny because that's when I read that. I mean, I was like, first of all, I was blown away, but then I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder if you saw, you know, situations growing up that really made you steer that way, really opened your eyes to things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's type of things that, you know, I try to stick to myself, and but I did witness, you know, a couple situations that, you know, definitely impacted me, and you know, and it also, it helps, you know, playing with a musician like Ted, you know, who's been clean and sober his entire life. So,
right.
And that's just a coincidence that, you know, my boss ends up, you know, being a very straight edge person as well. But honestly, I've worked with a lot of people that, you know, that enjoy to drink and, you know, dabble in their drugs and whatnot. It's the music industry. You're going to have it. But, you know, as long as it doesn't affect the job that I got to do, you know, they can do whatever the hell they want. You know, so,
right.
But just making sure, you know, I kind of express the message to, you know, young up and coming, you know, inspired musicians, you know, to just kind of keep their head on their shoulder and, you know, stay positive with their choices.
Nice. Very, very cool. So what do you have coming up now? You have stuff with Ted coming up, or studio stuff, or?
Well, we just got off the road doing our tour, and you know, with Ted, we only tour in the summer, so we do June, July, August, and then we're done for the whole year. But we got a brand new record coming out that we tracked earlier this year. I believe it's coming out sometime in the fall, and I'm really, really looking forward to the reaction that you know, fans have, you know, whether they're Ted Nugent fans or classic rock fans, have on this album, because it was recorded very, very old school. You know, we had 2 weeks to go down to Waco, Texas earlier in the year to track this thing. And, you know, the plan was that we were going to sit in a room for about a day or two, and Greg Smith, the bass player, Ted and myself, you know, we're going to sit and work on the songs and have Ted show us the parts and stuff, and then spend each day, the rest of the time we were there, recording one song per day. Well,
okay,
we sat down to track the first song, and Ted was just feeling it, so we ended up tracking the entire record, drums, bass, and rhythm guitar, in 5 hours.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, so, you know, what it was able us to do is that, you know, we were now still there for a week and a half. So now we were able to, you know, spend the rest of the time concentrating on the rest of the guitars, guitar solos, vocals, and also able to experiment and change different things, you know, because now we're sitting and, you know, listening and we're absorbing the music, you know, every single day. And, you know, typically in this day and age, you know, in a session, it's get in and get out as quick as you can.
Right.
You know, we're here, we already had the time booked, so now it was like, all right, well, let's try some things, let's experiment. And, you know, the result is really, really great. And really the reviews that I've been getting from, you know, friends that I've played and other people in the industry that I've played the record for, they've been like, you know, there was something that on this record that was able to capture, you know, Ted's sound, iconic sound from the 70s. And, you know, Ted even said it himself. He's like, some of these licks are very reminiscent of, you know, his earlier work in the 70s.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it. Cool. So where should everybody go to get hold of you, touch with you, if they want to hire you?
Well, I try to stay as approachable as possible, and you know, I'm on all the social medias. You know, being a millennial, I'm not that social media equipped, but you know, I still are on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all that crap, and then you know, of course, jasonartless.com. You know, tour dates and you know, records that I've played on and news and whatever. You know, but again, I always try to be the one that I can always be approached. You know, if a young inspiring musician has a question, I always make sure that I answer it and you know, kind of do my part in giving back.
Awesome. Well, Jason, this was really nice talking to you, man. Congrats on all your success, and looking forward to that new Nugent album. And hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure talking.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Awesome. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, welcome back to New Radio Rocks. Bay Ragney here, and there he is, Mr. Jason Heartless. Check him out all over the socials. Check out his website, links to everything, find out more about him. And look for that new Ted Nugent album. It'll be here before you know it. It's going to be killer. I guarantee it. So, like I said, make sure you look for him, Jason Heartless. And like him, love him, follow him on all the socials, his website. And while you're searching for Mr. Jason Heartless, search for myself, Bay Ragney, and Totally Driven Radio and Totally Driven Entertainment. We're out there, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And look for us on all those streaming sites like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Block Talk Radio, TuneIn. Just go to any one of them. You can hear our show and subscribe. Like us, love us, follow us, do it, listen, be totally driven. I am, you should be. So, until next time, we're back Thursday night with a live show. Myself, my partners in crime, Mr. Nick Wilkinson and Jimmy Giannetti. And find out who's going to be our guest. If we're just going to ride solo and, yeah, talk and babble. You never know. So, until next time, thanks again for tuning in. Stay driven. See you, everybody.